Hello and welcome to the Fastest Lab podcast, helping you to stay up to date with the fast-moving world of Formula One. Today, we talk about Kimi Raikkonen's first win since 2013 and Max Verstappen's amazing recovery drive from P8 to P2. My name is Jan, and as ever, I'm with Fogel. Hello everyone to episode 112 of the Fastest Lap podcast. That's probably what Kimi thought after crossing the finish line in P1, but it was a very interesting race up until this point, especially the last few laps of the race, and all that due to different strategies. But before we come to that, another spin for Sebastian Vettel in the race, and already in lap one. Your take on that, Fogel?
Yeah, I mean, I'm starting to think it's very strange the way that the Ferrari pivots around like that whenever it makes wheel-to-wheel contact.
Whenever he makes contact, he spins. It's so strange.
I'm not sure if it's just a coincidence or if there's something aerodynamic-like with that Ferrari that makes it do that. I don't know, but nevertheless, he made contact anyway with another car. This time it was Daniel Ricciardo, and yeah, I mean, I do think it was a racing incident. Straight away, I'm just going to say it was, in my view, a racing incident. But it doesn't take away the fact that it was Vettel involved in it, and Vettel that got himself involved in that incident. And once again, you know, the title fight in my mind is kind of, I don't really think there is much of a battle anymore. Yep. I mean, coming to when we go to Mexico. Next time around, Hamilton just has to finish in P7, and even if Vettel wins that race, you know, it's still Hamilton's title. So yeah, I mean, it's just been a shocking second half of the season for him. But you know, he recovered well in the race, but you gotta think he got back up to P4 in the race. But you gotta think if he didn't have that incident, he very well may have won that race, and probably would have won that race, because I don't think if Ferrari were running 1-2, I'm sure that the call would be made for Vettel to go through. So, yeah, very a shame that he got himself involved once again, but in an incident like that.
And I mean, it wasn't even an optimistic move or anything like that. No. You know, in Monza, you can argue, okay, he was a bit late on the brakes, he tried a bit too much, but still, that incident was strange that the car spun. Then in Suzuka, yeah, that I think we both agreed it was a bit optimistic, but he had to take the risks, of course. That's also what we said in our Suzuka review episode. But here in Austin, first of all, he outbraked himself after the long straight, ran a little bit wide, and so was on the inside. But looking at it from onboard and offboard, it looked okay. You know, he was going wheel to wheel, and in every other situation, they even touched with the tires. You know, it wasn't even like he hit his side pod or anything. It was tire to tire contact, where usually nothing should happen. But I mean, I can't even explain it with physics. It looked like he redefined physics in that situation.
Yeah, I mean, I wonder if it's going to get looked into, the fact that Ferrari keeps spinning around like that, because it is very strange. It was simply wheel-to-wheel contact, and we've seen many, many times cars banging wheels. Every race you get cars banging wheels. It's an inevitable part of racing. But to have the car spin around like that, and you know, maybe if it was at high speeds, you'd understand. But you know, they aren't even going that quickly for Formula One cars. So, yeah, very, very strange. And that sent Vettel pretty much right down to towards the back of the field. I don't think he was sent completely to the back, but it was more or less.
Yeah,
the back.
I mean, we had a bit more chaos going on in the first few corners with Stroll. I don't want to say crashing into Alonso, but both made contact, put it that way. I didn't really have a closer look to it. I mean, you could argue Alonso closed the gap. On the other hand, did you look closer to that into that incident?
Yeah, I mean, in my view, I think Stroll just hit into the side of Alonso, to be honest. Of course, not intentional, but I mean, Alonso didn't really, well, to be honest, Alonso didn't really seem to blame Stroll that much in his social media post after the race. He kind of just said that when there's so many cars scrapping for the one piece of track in that area, there's bound to be contact. And yeah, there was.
Yeah, and we had some contact with Grosjean and Leclerc that looked pretty clumsy from Grosjean, you have to say, and he got a penalty for that. And I think he's now pretty close to the maximum penalty points he's allowed before a race ban. I think only 2 points left, so
yeah, but
he shouldn't do anything stupid in the next race.
Yeah, well, I think in Mexico there'll be 1 point taking away, so effectively he's on 9 points, because when we arrive in Mexico there'll be a point taken away. So
okay. Yeah, but returning to the front of the grid, it was another masterclass of Max Verstappen. He started P18 because, well, sadly for him, in qualifying he damaged the suspension by running over some of the sausage curbs on the outside of the track. I don't even want to start with the track limit topic, but it was good that they enforced it in turn 19, but I can't really understand why they don't enforce it in turn 9. Just put some of those curbs in there, done. No one talks about it. But yeah, anyway, P18 to P5, I think, in 7 laps. Of course, helped by some incidents, but anyway, crazy, right?
Yeah, I mean, incredible. His first lap was really, really good. You could see his onboard that was released today, or the day of of our recording. I mean, it was sensational, just going around the outside, up the inside of every car that's in front of him. I mean, sure that the car is fundamentally quicker than those towards the back, but it takes a special kind of racecraft, I think, to be able to chop your way through the grid like that, no matter how superior your car is. And it's not like he was passing them at the end of on the first lap anyway. He wasn't passing them at the end of the long straight into the braking zone. He was going around the outside and up the inside in the first sector. So it was incredible. Once again showing his great skill, and yeah, I mean, got himself into a really, really good position. Pitted really early because he started on the hardest compound that Pirelli brought to the weekend, and I think he pitted on lap, I think it was like 22 or something. I usually have all my race info in front of me, but somehow I accidentally deleted it and it got corrupted or something. I don't know what happened, so I'm gonna have to try and go off memory today. But I mean, he pitted very, very early on a set of tires that you'd expect to go well into the race. And I mean, honestly, when he put on a set of super softs, I thought that he would be making another pit stop, because it didn't really seem likely that he'd be able to go the whole distance on the super softs from when he pitted. But yeah, he did it, and what a drive.
Yeah, and before we talk about the different kind of strategies, I mean, we need to talk about what enabled those different strategies. We had, of course, a great drive for one of the Red Bull cars, not so good day for the other Red Bull car, in this case Daniel Ricciardo. Another car problem, another retirement, but of course that meant we had a virtual safety car. And honestly, when that happened, I was, there were both Ferrari and Mercedes, they had the option to pit their drivers, and Mercedes absolutely rightly wanted to do the opposite to Kimi ahead. And it was really nice that Kimi sent a little bit of a dummy, like pointing the car towards the pit lane entry, but that didn't go in there. But when I saw that, I thought it was the wrong strategy from Ferrari not to pit Kimi. What was your impression there?
Well, yeah, I mean, straight away you would sort of think that, especially the fact that Kimi was on the softest tire, the ultra soft, I think, was, so he was yeah, straight away in a better position to pit, you could say, because his tires on paper were going to run out quicker than Hamilton, because Hamilton was on the super soft. But then I guess Ferrari, maybe they were looking at it, you know, if they pitted Raikkonen, you would bet whatever you want to bet that they would leave, that Mercedes would leave Bottas out there, and use him as a roadblock, and then allow Hamilton to just pull away in clean air, set in the laps, and pit and come out ahead. But yeah, I mean, they told him to do the opposite. Hamilton came in, and he really gained under that safety car. I think when he after his stop, I think he was only something like 7 or 8 seconds behind Raikkonen, when under normal conditions he'd be 18, 19, 20 seconds. And I think, yeah, everyone was kind of like, oh no, you know, what if once again Ferrari has screwed up. But in the long run, it turned out that it was a great decision.
Yeah, and after Hamilton pitted, they had a quite good fight on track, Kimi and Lewis Hamilton. I really liked the defending by Kimi. He placed his car very well, also tried to break the slipstream on the straight, like moving around a little bit on the straight, or before the long straight he was really wide on the curb, just not to give him any slipstream at all. I thought it was tactically quite good from Kimi Raikkonen. And also, yeah, it was great to see those two greats of the sport fight with each other on track.
Yeah, I mean, Kimi is a veteran. He's one of the most experienced guys out there, and
39 years now.
Yeah, and he, you know, well, I completely forgot what I was going to say. I remember now. His Sauber deal. He wants to go to Sauber because he said himself he loves racing. That's the only reason he's going to Sauber is what he said, and I think next year he'll be expecting to get a lot of racing in, especially with such a close midfield. And I'm sure he really enjoyed that battle as much as Hamilton did, because both of them really love their wheel-to-wheel racing.
Yeah, and all these different strategies, Kimi staying out longer on the softest tire, and Hamilton going for a two-stop strategy, Verstappen pitting quite early and having the super soft tires on for a very long stint. All that basically led to a very interesting and very exciting end to the race, with Hamilton catching Verstappen and Kimi Raikkonen rapidly towards the end of the race, but also meaning taking a lot of life out of those soft tires. And I think he only had this soft tire set left to put on at the end there, so it wasn't really an option to put anything else on that Mercedes car. But yeah, that fight between Verstappen and Hamilton was quite something as well, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure the championship was flashing quite vividly in Hamilton's head. But yeah, I mean, it was great. Without a doubt, Verstappen and Hamilton, two of the quickest guys in the sport. Probably for some people, they'd put them as their absolute two quickest in the sport. And if someone said it to me, I wouldn't argue against it. I wouldn't argue for it either, but I wouldn't argue against it. And I think it'd be a fairly fair statement. And yeah, I mean, the Verstappen just had excellent pace. Hamilton
also great positioning of the car in that, yeah, that one time where he fought closer with Hamilton, leaving him to the outside of the track, and he knew that there were marbles and not much grip.
Yeah, and it demonstrates again just how good this Coda track is for racing. You know, I think I've said in the preview episode that we did, that it's funny how it's a fairly new track and yet it has such a good reputation, because we know that a lot of the new tracks on the calendar don't really go down well with fans, but I think this one does. And I think this race was a clear demonstration of why it does, because it really provides good racing, and there was a lot of good racing through the midfield as well that we didn't get to see very much, because you know, you're going to focus a lot more on what's happening at the front. But yeah, I mean, it was a fantastic battle between Verstappen and Hamilton, especially when they were going around the, well, Hamilton was trying to go around the outside at the triple right-hander of 16, 17 and 18. I mean, my heart rate at that point was up a little bit, because, I mean, if there was contact made, you just, it would open so much in the championship. It wouldn't, you know, be pivotal, I don't think, because the gap is so huge, but it would be extraordinary. But you know, I didn't really expect them to crash, because they're, well, Hamilton anyway was a is a clean enough racer. I'm not taking anything away from Verstappen, who's who definitely in this second part of the season has been driving amazingly well, and really, really, really good driving from him. And yeah, I mean, really did well to keep Hamilton behind. It's not very easy to keep Mercedes and especially Hamilton behind, and yeah, he pulled it off and managed to secure P2 from P18. I mean, that's an outstanding result. Even P3 would have been great. It was a bit reminiscent of his race last year. I think it was P14 he started in 2017, and of course he got booted out of the podium room afterwards, but even P4 last year from then there is a good result in a Red Bull that's not quite as quick as Ferrari and Mercedes. So yeah, just an excellent result for him, and great driving from the two of them.
Yeah, and just when you mentioned when you talked about the COTA track, I just remembered back to, I think it was the practice session or qualifying session, I'm not quite sure. It must have been the practice session where Paul Ressa on the Sky or F1 TV commentary should take the viewer around a track, around a lap on that track. And then when they came to that slow bit after the straight in the second sector, he was like, yeah, I don't know what that part of the track really brings to the lap. It's kind of a bit boring and doesn't do anything. And I was like, what? It provided us with good racing in the last couple of years. And exactly that happened this year as well, because we had most of the closest racing in that section of the track, whether it was Ricciardo versus Vettel or Hamilton versus Raikkonen and Hamilton versus Verstappen. Everything was happening there. So yeah, I think it is a quite good part of the track, also because you can take different lines through those corners. But all in all, I mean, brilliant drive by Kimi to make the strategy work, also to keep Verstappen and Hamilton behind when it mattered. And yeah, 5 years since he last won a race, and I think 80-90% of the Formula One community were quite happy that finally Kimi won another race. But the question is it also your driver of the weekend, Fogel?
I just want to say first about Raikkonen, I'm really happy that he got a win in before he leaves Ferrari. I think he deserves it.
And most importantly, it wasn't an orchestrated win. No. It was a win all by himself.
Yeah, I mean, I think 2018 has been Raikkonen's strongest year at Ferrari since he's rejoined in 2014. I think by a country mile, I think it's his strongest year. I'm so happy to see him get a win before he leaves for Sauber. I'd imagine that, well, you never know, he could win before the end of the year, but given his record, you know, one win in the past, in the whole lot of the turbo hybrid era, it's a bit unlikely that he's going to win, but you never know. But I think this very well could be his final win in Formula One, and it was nice for us to witness that, and nice for him to get it and bow out Ferrari really on a high after a couple of tough years. But my driver of the weekend, I mean, this week it's a bit of a tough one actually. Because I mean, there was some good performers there. Of course, Max Verstappen, Brendan Hartley, you know, didn't qualify but got into P9 because of disqualifications for Ocon and Magnussen, but you know, still got himself into P11 from P20. You know, some good drives out there. But yeah, I mean Raikkonen sure did a good job, but I'm gonna go for Max Verstappen. Of course, didn't get to fulfill everything in qualifying, but I don't really think what happened, it wasn't his fault, because everybody was using the curbs, and yeah, it was a shame that it broke on his car. But I mean, in the race he just drove superbly, especially in the last handful of laps on tires that were very, very old. He was able to not only keep Hamilton behind, but he was right in touch with Raikkonen as well. I reckon if he had the straight line speed, Verstappen would have been through, and we'd be talking about how Verstappen won the race and not Raikkonen. So I think it was just that the straights that were letting Verstappen down. But yeah, I think I'm going to give it to Verstappen just based on his race. I can't really give it to him on qualifying, but I think his race warrants a driver of the weekend title, because to stay on Kimi's tail like that, to keep Hamilton behind and those two cars, don't forget, are much quicker than the Red Bull, was mightily impressive, and such a great drive from him. So yeah, Max Verstappen is my driver of the weekend.
Yeah, good choice, and I also considered him as my driver of the weekend. I considered Verstappen, I considered Kimi, and yeah, as you said, in the midfield we had a few good drives. But yeah, regarding also qualifying, and I think it kind of was also Verstappen's fault, because he used those sausage curbs a lot compared to other drivers. So yeah, I think with his first win in 5 years, and with really managing tires, managing all his opponents, it was a really good race for Kimi Räikkönen. Also in quali, he didn't out-qualify Sebastian Vettel, but he was very close, within thousands, I think, hundreds of Sebastian Vettel. So also very good qualifying for him, and that's why I think Kimi Räikkönen deserves driver of the weekend. And I just checked, also surprising, Kimi Räikkönen is closer to Sebastian Vettel than Sebastian Vettel is to Lewis Hamilton, first of all. But also with that result in the USA, Kimi Räikkönen now moved up to P3 in the Drivers' Championship, ahead of Valtteri Bottas. He's now 4 points ahead of Valtteri Bottas, which is also quite good, I think. So yeah, very good weekend for Kimi Räikkönen, and that's why I choose him as my driver of the weekend. But race rating, how did you enjoy that race, Robert?
I absolutely love the race. I think it was fantastic. Definitely up there with one of the best of the season.
And the best thing of the race was that new guy at the beginning.
Yeah, I mean, we were just discussing this before we started recording, and I said that it was quite possibly one of the funniest things I've ever experienced in Formula One. I mean, there was tears streaming down my face. It was very difficult to concentrate on what was happening on the screen when I was laughing so hard. I mean, even when Ricciardo was pulling over to retire, I was still laughing, and I felt kind of bad, because I was like, oh no, Ricciardo's retiring. But it was just so funny. So I think that deserves a bonus point in my race rating. I think my highest race rating this year so far is 8. I believe I gave that at Azerbaijan and possibly Great Britain, I can't remember. But I'm going to go for another 8. I thought it was great. What I really loved about the race, probably more than anything, was the differing strategies that we had between the top drivers, and that's what really made the race so exciting. And we want to see more of that, and hopefully going forward, we want to see more different strategies. But at the same time, I don't want to see tires that fall off the like we had back before these new tires, that you have to nurse for a few laps and then they completely fall off the cliff. We want to see drivers be able to push, but we also want to see variations for differing strategies, which is what makes these races exciting, and that's what we got this weekend. So I'm gonna go for an 8 out of 10.
Yep, I can agree with everything, but because I mean, you said it, the race was mainly dominated by the different strategies. Of course, we had some on-track battles, but for example, Vettel wasn't really in the battle for with the top three. So yeah, I still think the races in Silverstone and in China also for me was a good race. We're a bit better, so I'm continuing. I think I started it last time with the 0.5s, and I'm continuing that in this week. I think it's a 7.5. A good race, a solid race. I really, really enjoyed it, but it wasn't up there with for me with the best races of the season. So now, Mexico coming up already this week. I was a little bit surprised when I heard that, but of course, very good to have another race now. And I think you touched on it earlier. It would be pretty, or it wouldn't. It would be a surprise not to have a new world champion after Mexico, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's very likely that Hamilton is going to wrap up the title. Of course, you know, if we think back last year to Mexico, he ran into trouble on the first lap with Sebastian Vettel. So, and he still won the title that race last year despite crossing the line. I think it was P9 it was. So yeah, it's going to be likely that Hamilton wins in Mexico. I don't really think he's worried about where he wins it as long as he wins it. But yeah, the odds are much higher this time around than they were in USA last weekend. So it's going to be very likely that he will do it. And I think, you know, he'll be looking to win the race, of course, but Red Bull have been targeting this race for a long time. They've said for a number of races now that they feel that, like, Mexico is the only race on the calendar remaining on the calendar that they think they can win. Of course, it has that big long straight there, but you know, they won here last year, so of course Vettel and Hamilton ran into trouble, but you know, he Red Bull still could win it. I'm sure Ricciardo's going to be pushing pretty hard to get a win in his last win, maybe for Red Bull. So I'll be hoping for a three-way battle, and whatever happens. But if we get a race this weekend as good as it was in the US, then I'll be very pleased.
Yep, absolutely. Basically nothing to add there. I mean, Red Bull, very good race last year. Low air density in Mexico, so should be a good race for them. But let's hope for a three-way fight, of course. So thank you very much for listening, and until next week, goodbye.
Goodbye.